Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me, as always, as he is every week, breaking it down to basically all of you helping me, bringing you football talk, just the way you like it here on the National Gridiron Network, none other than Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley bringing it to you loud, proud, and in charge. This week we are unfortunately without Chris Rankin, simply because that fight to keep everything safe for democracy that he's doing with firefighting and all that. Well, let's just say when professors get times wrong, it's inconvenient for everybody. Even heroes like he's training to be as a firefighter. That's right. I said it. Anyways, so, you know, enough about that aside. Speaking of heroes, you know, there's a lot of hype around the NFL Network's top 100. Weasel, just throw out a guess. Who was the top guy? Do you have any insight? Number one guy?
Say it's Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I think you'd be correct there, and that's absolutely true. Who's somebody that wasn't even on the list last year?
Person in the news lately. It is tight end Jimmy Graham.
Oh, apparently Weasel making it clear. Well, actually, no, you're not making anything clear, because you're right. According to what we'd heard last week, and I believe we talked to quite a bit last week on the show, that Jimmy Graham was officially considered a tight end based on arbitration that had taken place last week. But Jimmy Graham would have you believe, au contraire, folks. I ain't playing that game. I want to appeal.
I want $5 million extra.
Well, I was about to say, and like right before the show, I was trying to get that Dr. Evil. But I didn't have time, and it makes me sad, so sad, that when I think of the concept of trying to realize that I can't, like that I tried to get that bite and I couldn't get it. It was something I couldn't grasp, something I couldn't quite handle.
You can't handle the truth.
That's basically true. You're right. I couldn't handle the truth. I'm not getting that sound back. Okay. You could tell sometimes when people have new toys and they want to play with, that's pretty much what
I don't blame you.
Hey, man, the immortal Jack Nicholson, you can try in front on that, but you would just be wrong to do so. I mean, he's awesome. And you know what? When it comes
you
to
You can't handle the truth.
When he's awesome, that's what it is. I mean, I'm saying. Anyways, so Jimmy Graham looking to appeal the decision that he is indeed a tight end. You seem to come out pretty strongly there, Weasel. I'll go ahead and give you the ball first on this one. What you got?
Well, I think all his career, pretty much he's like, I'm a tight end. I'm a tight end. I'm a tight end. I'm a top five tight end. Something like that. And then this whole thing with the is a wide receiver gets paid about $12.3 million if they are franchised for. And you compare that to a tight end, which is about $7 million. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, I'm not a tight end anymore. But I don't blame him. The guy, he does line up a lot. I think one of his casing points is that he lines up more as a wide receiver than as a tight end, you know, at the line of scrimmage. So
right.
That's, but I think they should give it to him just because, I mean, he's so productive. And he's pretty dominant out there. The guy's like, what is it, 5'6 or so? And he's very athletic.
5'6, what do you mean?
His height.
He is taller than 5'6.
I think 5'7 or so? No.
Let's try that again. Okay. Cut it. Like, I thought, when you said that, I pictured my wife jumping up over three guys. Getting touch up. Yeah! How about that?
How about 6'6 or 6'7?
Yeah, that's closer. I think.
A little bit closer.
It's almost, yeah, just a bit. I know that was a mistake. I'm not trying to make fun of you, but the picture that put in my head was hilarious. Like Spud Webb going up over three guys, you know. That, by the way, for those who are too young to get that reference, that's who mommies and daddies see when a short guy dunks a basketball. Okay, just so you know. Anyways, no, but and you even brought up the point going into the show. You're talking about him calling himself a tight end. It's not like that didn't happen when they like, and I think it's on Sunday Night Football. Or Monday night, or one of the
one
two,
of them, yeah.
Yeah, with like his, blah, 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 you know, so-and-so, tight end, who's your mama's state, or, you know, whatever. Like, they give their name, their position, and what's cool. You know, some of them get ridiculous calling out their middle school or whatever.
Jared Allen did that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's
well,
that's pretty awesome.
Jared Allen's kind of ridiculous, and a lot of guys are kind of ridiculous. They got funny personalities and all.
One of them, I think, was his preschool or something.
Yeah. And you know what? I respect trying to have fun with it. That's fine. This is the same guy that hog ties dudes that he sacks. You know what? That's Jared Allen for you in a nutshell, man. By the way, I had a bit of a flashback watching the Hard Knocks syndication on NFL Network, that, you know, him being a Chief and all that, and with Herm Edwards, and it was fun. Anyway, I don't know, because Jared Allen. Anyways, you know, and you know, oh, he declared himself a tight end. And he said, then one day he comes up to the Saints, as you put it, and goes, sure, I can call myself a tight end if you give me $5 million. Right? See, that fits. Well, and but you also said it too, that it's a matter of production. And when you put Jimmy Graham's numbers to the test, for the past 3 years combined, he has more touchdowns than anybody else. Okay? That's a big deal. Not to mention just this past year for a, quote, tight end, I believe it's 1,270-something yards. In other words, it's a lot, okay? For any tight end to break 1,000 yards, even nowadays, is a big deal. He does it on the regular. I see what he's trying to do, and like, look, you're using the franchise tag to save money, okay? I'm entitled to more money than that when you have all, you know, other players who don't necessarily, quote unquote, maybe deserve it. I don't want to say don't deserve it, but players who are less valuable assets, how about that, than he is, getting more money. You know, the example, obviously, off the bat, if you want to do apples to apples, is Gronk, right? He's, based on his guaranteed money, I believe he's due $8 million-ish in the coming season. And he's like, you're franchising me, and I'm getting less than that, and I'm not in the tub, I'm in the end zone scoring touchdowns. I can see why he's beefing. But then again, and you cited it at the end of the show, who's somebody else that's had some contract situations with the Saints?
You got Drew Brees.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was 2 years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago.
Two seasons, three off seasons, close enough.
The Saints were throwing the franchise tag on him again.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy wanted to full-length contract, and one of his appeals to it was that I think he was franchised, I think, once with San Diego.
Correct.
And once with the Saints. So this would be his third, so that's where I think what's going to happen with that's similar to the Drew Brees situation is that, yeah, they said that, I think they ruled that he would have to pay like 40% more, the team would have to pay 40% more to franchise him again.
Right.
But what happened with Drew Brees is that he got that huge deal, and, you know, for I don't know how many years, but he got paid.
Oh, yeah, so, and I believe it's a $100 million total contract.
Yeah, and so the way that compares to Jimmy Graham is that, yeah, they're having, I believe it's Tuesday at 4 p.m., which is, you know, tomorrow. They have,
which is fewer than 24 hours if you really want to get technical.
Yeah, they have the franchise players can only sign a long-term deal before then. So within the next day, we're going to find out how this all shapes out. I think he's going to sign a long-term deal.
Well, right, and depending on how the math works out, look, at the end of the day, the contest is for guaranteed money, right? Okay, I think part of this is a ploy, okay? And let me tell you how. He's appealing the decision, which means the Saints won't necessarily have knowledge of where the ground is to stand on. Let's back up a little bit. We made the point, the three of us, and also with Lamont Brodus calling in, we made the point, by the way, that's at Sportsologist on Twitter if you're talking about Lamont Brodus. Anyways, we made the point that establishing this baseline for Jimmy Graham is important, in this case, is important to it with the franchising. Well, that, why is that, Cal? Okay, well, let me remind you. Top five tight ends. Is Jimmy Graham one of them, Weasel? Yes or no?
Yeah.
And all four of us last week said the same damn thing. So franchise tagging him, if he's the top three of tight ends in the NFL, guess what? You're already getting a damn discount because you're having 4 and 5 included as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even considering the wide receiver thing. We ain't even taking it there yet, all right? We're just here, okay? Now, that foundation with this appeal is, theoretically at least, not completely, I'm not here to imply that, it, you know, the Saints are shaking in their boots, but this is what the move, in my view, and granted, I'm not an agent. I'm just, you know, I'm just a fan like everybody else. Maybe I'm good at negotiations, maybe I'm not. It depends entirely on who you ask, but I'll say this much. The baseline set by the franchise tag, be it receiver or tight end, has a factor here. Because let's pretend for a minute that he's going to get franchised as a wide receiver. Now the Saints have incentive to get to the table, so they're not stuck paying $12 million in the coming year. Okay, then maybe Jimmy Graham may get his 10, I don't know, 10, 12. I'm not sure what his number is. If he said it publicly, I'll admit to up front not to knowing it. But something else we got to factor in is if the Saints come to the table and say, look, today, based on everything, regardless, you know, let's take the appeal out for a minute. We'll give you $7 million guaranteed for 1 year. You blow out your ACL, your value drops, you're kind of screwed, right? I mean, I don't mean to talk graphically, but that is the reality of the business that is the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can sign this deal worth, hell, let's pick a number, $80 million for 10 years, okay? For the next, let's call it four, not 8 million, let's not go 80 million for 10. Let's say, let's not get that ridiculous. Let's say 40, no. I can't come up with a good number right off. But what I'm trying to say is this.
Tight end contract?
Yeah, a tight end contract.
I'd say about 7 year, 80 million.
7 year, 80 million. You think it'd be that high, really?
Be a little bit higher. The guy is...
Let's say 7 for 70 so we get nice round numbers, mm-hmm. Okay? Half that's guaranteed, all right? That means he has $35 million guaranteed, granted, at a lower price.
That is a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. And is corn that's entitled to him. Moreover, this is obviously not Jimmy Graham's first contract. I believe it is his second. And that's the time when elite players have to strike to get their cash. Their cash, as it stands. That was fun. I have no idea why I said it like that, but... So that's the other thing, too, is Jimmy Graham is looking at these comparisons. He's like, I should be worth more. I'm producing more. And they want to stiff me because of a title. Now, if you look at it from the Saints' point of view, look, dude, we need help. Our defense is awful. Maybe you've noticed. We've got one good defensive lineman. That's pretty much it. And on defense, yeah, we're kind of hurting. But if you're holding up all the cash along with Drew Brees, who, by the way, any quarterback of that caliber, whether you like it or not, is going to get paid like that. That's just the truth. I mean, right? There's not a whole lot we can do about it this day and age. But now you got two of those big things, and then somewhere you got to pay all the money for the O-line to protect Brees, too, and all this other and sundry crap. Moreover, we've kind of made the point as well. Now, the unfortunate thing is in the arbitration, both sides agreed to this, so it may not be a factor legally speaking. But what's the comparison we used? Oh, yeah. We put a basketball goal on its side, and if Jimmy Graham stands near the top of the backboard, that's how far away he is from the line of scrimmage. I'm sorry. That is not a bleeping tight end. That is indeed a slot receiver.
And that was the majority of plays he took in his past seasons.
Oh, and then the arbitrator, the defense attorney or whoever it was that was responsible for this decision, even if it was Jimmy Graham himself, is a raging moron for agreeing to this concept. And I believe that's something all four of us, you, me, Chris, and Lamont Brodus, who called in last week, all agreed on that point as well. So it's not like this appeal is wrong morally, so to speak. But I think it's more of a bargaining chip to try to get the Saints to come to the table and be a bit, I don't want to say reasonable, but come more in Jimmy Graham's direction. Me personally, you got a guy that's this elite. He's supposed to set the new boundary, not be pulled back by a franchise tag. Okay, you're supposed to be rewarded for being elite, not screwed by a franchise tag, which is why, you know, players bitch so much about the franchise tag. Look, whether you're a bottom of the line player or not, getting penalized for production is stupid. And people are like, but Cal, he's guaranteed $7 million for 1 year. Yeah, and he's getting penalized for production when it should be or could be based on the market. I don't want to hear anything, oh, these guys overrated players, they're paid too much. Yeah, that's a different topic. That's a societal question, not a football one. Okay, what I'm trying to say is, compared to other players, look, Jamarcus Russell, granted this was before the collective bargaining agreement that fixed this problem with rookie contracts, but Jamarcus Russell got $40 million for playing no football and getting fatter. Literally, getting fatter. I don't mean PHAT with his play, I mean gut fatter.
And some of that purple drink.
See, with all that cash, he was able to get a McDonald's into his home. So.
Oh, well, that explains a lot. Thank you very much, Weasel. We'll work on someone to confirm that. Anyways, I'm glad you picked McDonald's, because if you went a different direction, there could have been some other overtones that we just won't get into. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, by the way, rated to have the worst hamburgers of one major fast food chains.
Hmm.
I find a certain irony in, because I don't. When's the last time you've even eaten in a McDonald's? I mean, it's pretty certain that Jamarcus Russell has eaten in a McDonald's more recently than I have.
Yep.
that's terrible.
But I bet he gets a Diet Coke, though.
Oh, Jesus. What a jump. That was awesome. But I bet he gets a Diet Coke. Damn it, I need a sound bite of that. Anyways. Anyways, so. And I'm going to go again with what I'll call the Tony Gonzalez defense, is that it's a quote-unquote discrimination. Not really, but it's supposed to be, payment is supposed to be based on production, not on position. And I think that's the point here. I don't know. I mean, Weasel, you seem pretty adamant that he should come out as a tight end. Do you think the Saints are doing him right, though?
Well, unless they give him a long-term contract, I mean, the thing is that the guy, either this year or next year, he's going to get paid. And he's a player that, you know, that he can make a lot of noise in the league. When he's like I think two of his three seasons are over 1,000 yards. And he had, 15, 16 touchdowns this year. So, I mean,
you the short version and just call it something ridiculous.
I'll just say that he deserves the $12 million. He deserves the wide receiver franchise tag. But according to all those rules and stuff like that, he's gonna get, you know, the seven million to be a tight end.
Right.
It's dumb, but because the guy, I was even looking at like Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez's numbers, and I was like, whoa,
Jason Witten, all the stars, you know.
It's like a couple seasons. I think it was Gates. I think over 1,000 yards, and like for other players, it was like, geez, he's like, he crushes everyone else. So.
Yeah, well, and when you mentioned Gates specifically, injury is a bit of a factor. But who's the other guy you mentioned besides Gates? I forget now.
Gates and Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, I think that's comparable.
Yeah.
Gonzalez didn't miss any games. Now, granted, Gonzalez is 152 years old in football years and is still producing like a freak. Jimmy Graham is far younger.
27 years old.
Good God, man.
Yeah,
like he's got prime football left.
Mm-hmm.
I you need to be paying this cat. And I think the thing that gets lost in all of this, we mentioned it before, I'll mention it again, because if you're going to have this topic, you can't do it. The Saints need Jimmy Graham more than Jimmy Graham needs the Saints. Yeah, I get it. They got Kenny Stills. Okay, fine. Kenny Stills is a fantastic young player. I think he's going to do some stuff in this league. Is he Jimmy Graham? No, not yet. Are you willing to roll those dice? I don't know. But a very interesting thought comes to my mind, Weasel, which will segue us nicely into the upcoming topic. Let's say you're the Saints. Unless you had something else.
No, good. Okay.
Let's say you're the Saints. And you're like, you know what, Jimmy Graham? You suck. I've had enough of this.
Your face.
Your face. There you go. I like that even better. You know what, Jimmy Graham? Your face. Okay. Your shortcut hair, your face, all of it, go away. They opt to go with Kenny Stills, but they find themselves in need of a receiver. Let's say an aging receiver who may be asking for a short deal, which would have some dollars attached to it. But now that Jimmy Graham's off the books, you might be able to afford him for a couple years. Somebody who, say, is disgruntled in the twilight of his career, which is, you know, he has been successful in his career despite having mediocre at best quarterbacks throughout said career. Of course, I would be referring to one Andre Johnson of the Houston Texans. Now, let me pose a question to you, Weasel, and if you don't know the answer, that's fine. In your mind, most talented quarterback that he's caught passes from on his team, Pro Bowls don't count. See what I did there?
One time it was Schaub early on.
Schaub?
But he was just falling apart. So.
Well, right. Schaub during the year when they made it to the playoffs, I think is worth saying. When he had other stars, quote, starters, I should say, such as Matt Leinart and TJ Yates. And now this past year bringing him Case Keenum. And of course, most immortally, I know you know this name, Mr. David Carr also threw him passes. Yep. So that's a pretty elite knot. I mean, this is a group that even Joe Flacco could hang with. There's your shout out, Montel Hardy. MN on sports on Twitter. Amen. MH rather. MH underscore on underscore sports for Montel Hardy. And let him know I showed him love that there is actually a group of quarterbacks with whom Joe Flacco could be elite. But that's so mean. Anyways, so with that mediocre set of quarterbacks, Weasel, he's doing amazing things at the receiver spot, right? First of all, it's not that he's holding out for cash. At least that's what he's saying. According to an article I read in the Boston Globe, it's not about the cash. It's about the cred. It's about the prestige. It's about trying to get that championship. Championship! Okay. Except the problem is, back in his career, TJ, who's your mama, had a better chance than Andre Johnson did. See what I did there from the commercial with Hushmanzada and all that? And
okay.
I don't know. I'm just proud to realize that I'm one of the people who could not only pronounce his name correctly, but actually spell it right in print without needing to look it up.
That one's tough. Hushmanzada?
Yeah. I can't do it anymore because I've not written his name in a long-ass time. But back in the day when he was relevant, it was tight like a vice, Weasel, I'm trying to tell you. Anyways. So Andre Johnson wanting out in Houston. First of all, drop an opinion on me. What do you got about that, Weasel?
Well, every time, through the past, I think he's going into his 12th season. And yes. A lot of times I would hear Andre Johnson's got an injury. He's got a hamstring or something like that. It's bothering him. But the thing is, I looked at his the stats and the games and such. 2012 and 2013, trouble with the quarterback position and all. 1,407 yards this past year.
Damn!
1,598 the previous year.
What?
His touchdowns are a little bit, it's like 5-4, which is eh.
Yeah, but look, folks, okay, getting them down the field with a team like that who relies so heavily on the run, because remember, 2 years ago, the entire interior of the offensive line went to the Pro Bowl. As did the Aryan Nation, right? Arian Foster. I almost forgot his name. And then Ben Tate as well. Meanwhile, by the way, that interior of that line went to the Pro Bowl when statistics said most of the plays went to the outside and they didn't pull their guards. So I don't know what the hell that's about. But anyway, whatever. It's a side check. Oh, that's offensive line stuff. Nobody cares about the trenches. It's not fair, Weasel. It's not fair.
You can't handle the truth.
I know. Shut up. Anyways.
But the guy, he's 33, and of course...
The guy being Andre Johnson, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
And, and the receptions he had. 109 in 2013, and 2012, it was 112.
Is that all?
So he's really busy.
Consistency.
And, but I think he has played hurt a lot. And, yes. But he's very productive, and I think one thing he got mad about, he was like, he didn't go to OTAs or minicamp.
So we're talking about this offseason, by the way.
Yes, this offseason. So he's just, chilling, laying back.
Yeah, I know this playbook, son.
He's kind of like, yeah, well, I want to come back, Say, oh, okay, that's great. So the Texans, he asked for a... work if he can, earn his workout bonus, do some extra stuff or something like that. And it's $1 million.
Thank you, Weasel.
And so pretty much to their star wide receiver, the pretty much the main guy in the offense, they said, you earn here no $1 million for you.
And so not so for you.
He wasn't very happy with that.
Yeah,
So I think the Saints... Not the Saints. Sorry, the Texans. I think they have to pay him $10 million as a base this season.
Base salary, right?
And I think the cap hit or something like that is going to be $12
million. Probably that involves a signing bonus or something added onto it too. But yeah, base. That's why it's base salary versus if he's got a signing bonus or guaranteed money or whatever. So together, his cap hit for the year will be $12 million.
Yeah. So the guy, he produces and. I think he's going to stay with them because, $10 million. That's nice. If you got family, I mean, that's good. You know, you can stick around.
If you got family.
There's two teams that I think he should that maybe want to trade for the guy. If the Texans, you know.
Well, wait a minute. We haven't even touched on that yet because he's asking for a trade. The thing I think we need to point out here is that the team say no publicly. They say no. So, interesting. I'll tell you what. We'll get back to this for a minute. I'm gonna because I think we're gonna get a little bit of a preach. Maybe another spin on this topic. Got a caller here. I know this number well from his office. It's a man we deal with all the time. He might be a little crazy. He may be a little bit mad, but that's why he's the mad scientist of sports. Coming up in the Sports Lab here in two Saturdays, re-premiering with Johnny Showtime Shelton. Of course, I refer to none other than Nick Ficcarelli. Nicky Fick. What is going on?
Data.
Oh, boy.
I'm just extremely bitter.
We know we're in trouble when you're coming out of the gate with that. So tell us, what has you as in the form of Baker's chocolate?
Well, let's put it like this, gentlemen. You know, a guy plays his whole career for a team, and after 10, 11 really good years giving his service to the team, he finally decides it upon himself to demand a trade because I haven't won anything in my whole career over here. Yet, seems to me that every time they gave him a very lucrative contract, it was, hey, I'll take the money, no problem, and I'll produce, no problem. So now that he's coming to the end of his career, he's trying to pull the old, good old veteran power play, saying, I want to play for a championship game. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, loyalty in sports is destined to die, especially in the annals of pro football. I have seen too many players either be unceremoniously dumped due to salary reasons or due to police reasons or to the student of the game reasons. We just have no idea. And I've seen players bitch and moan and complain about, oh, I'm never going to win here, so I'm just going to go out and pitch a bitch and become a pain in the ass and I'm going to get myself cut, traded, or both. If someone is... And so, ladies and gentlemen, we listen to Andre Johnson say, well, I might show up to camp, but I'm not going to be a happy camper. Excuse me if I suck my thumb and hold my ear and go, why I don't get my way. Because you know why? You publicly come out, request something, and you just gave every single team in the NFL, whether they want you or not, leverage. Leverage to the point that, look, I'll give you a used puck bag and an old jersey for him because guess what? We know he doesn't want to play for you, so we're not going to give you a second, a third, or a fourth round pick. You're lucky you're going to get a seventh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is another reason why sometimes in sports they can make you so bitter. Just bitter.
No, you put it all very accurately there, Nick. And actually, the question I'd pose is there's a way he could have handled it that didn't involve going public. He probably, to serve both him and the team, he probably could have gone up to him in private, and maybe he did. We'll never really know until we have that kind of access, I guess. But...
You know what that is? It's called common sense!
Well,
oh my God, there's a concept!
I mean, yeah, he could have gone to the team in private and said, hey, yo, get me the bleep out of here, dude. I mean, I don't want to hold you hostage. I ain't trying to do that. Threaten to do what he's done publicly. I'd have been okay with that. It's called negotiation. What do you got, Weasel?
I'll say this about sources. Now, the
sources.
One of the sources that I keep hearing, it's they're all sports, is that a person close to the situation,
well, right,
or something like that. It's like you don't need to verify your sources there. It's like you say, some guy told me, and he was close to the. He knew Andre Johnson, so this is my data.
Jameson's mom had a date with the owner once, so I heard this.
Yeah,
you know, for example,
I just hate that. And but in this case, people say he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to trade. He does want to trade, and there's always that source. But who knows?
Well, I mean, and that's a different topic that we'll have plenty of time to get into at another juncture. I hear where you're coming from with that. That's a much bigger issue than what we're talking about actually at the moment. But what I'm getting at is he could have gone to the Texans and go, look, trade me and get some stuff for me, and then I'll go and get there. But by the same token, how does that serve him in his mind? The team you're sending me to just got weaker so they can get me. If I'm trying to get a championship, that ain't going to work. And I think another factor, there are two other factors here that are left out of this that are just unfortunate truths. A, it's not Andre Johnson's fault that he was down to his third string quarterback in the playoffs two seasons ago. It's just not. I would argue it's the teams for overvaluing their O-line, because somebody, not mentioning any names, me, called that out a while back that they were overrated. Next thing you know, they're down to their third stringer by the time the playoffs come along, which TJ Yates did do his job, I'll grant, kind of. Then also there's all those years where they would come so close to success and then because Peyton Manning. There's that too. That definitely ain't anyone's fault. That just is. But, Nick, let me ask you this. If you're in Andre Johnson's predicament, I mean, do you just swallow it up, take the cash, and go about your business?
You know what? There's always something called the power of the almighty dollar. And if Mr. Johnson does not get traded nor cut by the time the season comes around, guess what? He's going to take his lumps. He'll sit out the first few weeks, which is the big, gigantic loophole that the NFL says, and goes, you know what? I'm just going to train on the side. You can take my money. I still got plenty of it. And guess what? I will come back week five or week six or whatever it may be. And I will play the last 10 games, and then we can go through this all over again next year if you decide to play hardball with me again. This could be an extremely positively ugly situation for both Andre Johnson and the Houston Texans. I blame Andre Johnson because he's the one that came out in the first place about 4 months ago and said, I hate it here, and I do not want to be here anymore. I want to win. I have no faith in my organization. I have no faith in the new head coach. Basically, I have no faith. I look at the Houston Texans and go, well, we could make him pay. He's going to lose some money. Yet, we could trade him, but we're not going to because we want to take a stand and show, damn it, we're the organization. We can stay here and do whatever we want. We don't care what the public opinion says. We're standing to our outstanding principles of losing.
Okay.
Well, and you know, that's good and well, but I think what's being left out here, and Weasel cited it, 12-year vet, 33 years old, he can threaten that. But if I'm the organization, I'm laughing my ass off in his face, okay? Ain't no way he has the leverage there, okay? Because if he sits out for a year at that age, he's damaged goods. Someone may give him a shot, but it damn sure won't be for the money that he would command now. And, you know, at that point, what organizations would want him? Like, for example, teams who I think should be in the running to trade for him include the following right now. And this isn't trading for him, assuming no other politics, okay? The Rams, the Panthers, who are two hard-nosed running football teams.
And the Panthers did lose Steve Smith this season.
Correct. Thank you, Weasel. You beat me there. Who are in need of receiver help. Bottom line, and of course, Carolina in particular because of the Steve Smith thing. Very, very well cited. Okay, and I'm sure we could think of others that need receivers.
One more.
I was going to say Minnesota, right? I mean,
Cleveland Browns.
Actually.
Ah, compelling as well.
I was thinking the Browns too because the departure for the, not departure,
but
the suspension.
Replacement for Josh Gordon.
Go ahead. Got one more.
Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Well, I got one more for you too. I got the New York Jets.
He actually wants to win, so.
Oh, well, I mean, and that's a legit point, though. That's funny. Well, see, and we were talking about quarterbacks that he's had throughout his career. That wouldn't really up the number either. I mean, Sam Bradford at this point, I mentioned the Rams. Sam Bradford is better than every other quarterback he's played for in Houston. I can even say that at this point. And I'm well documented as a Bradford, I don't want to say hater, but a Bradford skeptic, you know.
On the side, former number one pick. And that was when I think he got, what was it, $40 million guaranteed or so?
Ish, I think it's only high 30s, but.
Yeah.
And of course, you're talking to someone who a couple of years ago, when he was doing a show with someone who I shall not name, his name is Kyle Nash. I was picking the St. Louis Rams practically every single week.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up, but since you did, yeah, that's real like a heart attack. I mean, you know, it's almost like I made you bring that up.
It's a trap.
Not really, but. No, but I mean.
Well, if you want to go one further, we could always say that Sam Bradford wanted to go to Jacksonville so he could actually look up into the stands at the owner and scream. Thank you very much.
That is so shameless. Hey, Nick, do you want to stay around for a bit?
No, it is.
We're wicked late for a break. You want to stay around for a bit and come after?
No, it's okay. I'm going to get going. I just figured I'd come in and do my bitter speech because, as everybody knows, here comes another shameless plug for you. My name is Nick Ficcarelli. I am the mad scientist of sports talk. I will be back on air live and pretty much uncensored on July 26th on the sister network, the Sports Chronicles Radio Network, every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to midnight. You can listen to me and John Shelton, a.k.a. Johnny Showtime, as the mad scientist and his young apprentice will make your head spin with sports knowledge in a way that you can only ever imagine. Stephen Hawking won't have anything on us. I'll just tell you that much.
You can't handle the truth.
That's right. I don't know. I thought it's my new toy. I had to throw it in there. All right, Nick. Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk at you later. Thanks for checking in, brother.
Thanks, Nick.
No problem. Have a good night, guys.
No, and that was a strong take by Nick. We'll get more into it when we come back from the break. We're like 7 minutes late for break, so, you know, that's bad form and stuff. So let's go ahead and take a break now. You're listening to the National Gridiron Network.
The National Gridiron Network. Join us as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game week by week to the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across the football landscape. NGN, football talk, just the way you like it.
And we're back here on the Student of the Game. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game here on the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk just the way you like it with the help of my faithful co-host, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
With Stephen Weasel Hurley here in the Student of the Game studios with me, breaking down football talk just the way you like it. Hey, the Student of the Game, this is what we do. Football's the joy. Now, getting back to Andre Johnson for a minute. The team has come out publicly and said they're not going to trade him. Here's why. Well, I mean, look, let's be real for a minute, Weasel. You're the Texans. Let's pretend you're smarter than that, but you're the Texans. And Andre Johnson says, I want to get traded. He pulls a Kobe Bryant. I want to get traded. God, I love making fun of Kobe. I know it's a football show, but deal with it. Anyways, you're the Texans. It's time to talk about this publicly in the press because he's brought it there. What do you do? What do you do?
Well, their organization, not really, I wouldn't call it a rebuilding, but I don't think that's they're going to really compete this year.
Well, you're going bigger picture than I am.
So, well, all I'm getting at is that the guy is he's 33.
Yep.
He's up there.
Yep.
He still has, you know, some gas in the tank.
He does.
Seasons, I mean, both over, I think, 1,400 yards. It's pretty ridiculous. So I think they should go to a team like it. Cleveland's one of them, Panthers or something like that, and they should trade him.
Okay.
Get something, at least get something for him, because he had a long career with the Texans. Only the Texans. That's the only place he's played. So
yeah, no, that's real talk. And like I said, that's a bit more big picture than I meant, but we'll roll with that for a minute. Okay. So he goes to the Browns, and he says, yo, I got Andre Johnson. What you got, fool? And they're like, here's a pack of Skittles, a.k.a. a seventh-round pick or a sixth-round pick. Basically do what the Niners did to get Anquan Boldin from the Ravens. I'm just saying. You know, declare war on Halloween and ask Cleveland. And Cleveland's like, here's a bag of Skittles. Now, to increase the value of candy, maybe you'll get, I don't know, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups or something instead.
Oh, snap.
I know, right? If you say, well, I ain't trading them. I mean, look, Andre Johnson comes out and says, I want to be traded. What? Whether you agree with him or not. If you're the Texans, you have to respond this way in order to keep, look, at least you want to get a full bag of Skittles, not one of the little minis that you get at Halloween in the trick-or-treat bag, right?
Well, there
is. I love this candy analogy. It's the dinner hour. Maybe that's the problem. Anyway. But, no, I don't know. But as far as the candy, yeah. We were talking about hamburgers earlier, talking about candy. I'm just distracted because I'm hungry. But what I'm getting to is this.
Oh, okay. Got one thing, though. Rumors for, especially for a team.
Okay.
How many times have you heard that the team will not trade the player and all of this stuff? And then the next day or the day after that,
psych!
There's a big trade. They're of course going to say that, but I'm sure they're exploring other options. But you got to keep the money in mind. So
the money in mind, the money in mind. And yeah, that, I mean that cap hit is pretty huge. I mean.
So.
I don't know. How much of that base salary is guaranteed? I'll be honest, I haven't looked it up. I don't know that answer. At least $2 million of it is, it sounds like, based on what you gave us earlier there. But that's a rough place to be on both sides. The mad scientist himself there, Nick Ficarelli, said he was bitter and he kind of blames Andre Johnson for it. I don't. I mean, you cited it quite well, bro, that he came in and he played hurt and he played hard. And he would still get numbers being hurt. What? Even with Case Keenum at quarterback. That's a hell of a tongue twister. Try saying that five times. Case Keenum at quarterback. Case Keenum. Anyways. But the other part that twists my mind is he still pulled all that off. And really the only time he's been in any quote-unquote trouble was when a guy who's been voted dirtiest player in the league, Cortland Finnegan, tried to start a fight with him on the field. So on top of being the dirtiest player, by the way, as a former Titan, they would play each other twice a year. Might have been a little bit of an aggressive rivalry on that game. I'm just saying. But while I sympathize with Andre Johnson, did he go about it the best way? I mean, we don't really know the answer to that. We don't know if he went to the organization behind closed doors and tried to reason with them first. We don't have that.
Another thing is about the trades is that with Johnson, the guy, I don't think he's made a statement, as in to the media, like saying, I want to be traded type thing. Because, I mean, there's sources that say that he wants to be traded.
Well,
he said this, he said that. Who knows?
It's come out that he's asked for a trade.
Yeah, but
I mean, Johnson has actually commented after the fact and confirmed that he wants a trade. That is, I mean, that part is legit.
There you go.
I see where you're going. In this case, it's not a factor because Johnson has corroborated the statement. Corroborated the statement.
Gotcha.
So, anyways, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, there's that. And we kind of talked about the team's best of fit for where he should go in his quest for a new team. Let's narrow that down. In your mind, what's the best? Like we have these different options, Cleveland and all these other places or whatever. Nick pointed out the Jets, although like I said with Eric Decker, I don't think that's going to happen, and they have another young receiver there who is, you know, is good when he's not hurt. So I don't know if they'll try to bring in a 33-year-old necessarily there. In your mind, who's the best target?
I would say the Patriots. They can grab they usually grab those veteran players and mm-hmm, stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And with Tom Brady, the thing about Tom Brady is that he can make especially with Peyton Manning too, he can make a mediocre wide receiver, like, very decent.
Why do you struggle with Chad Johnson then?
Well,
that was more about him grasping the playbook as many experts would have it, but I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah. So
no, and you're right. I mean, Kendrell Tompkins, Anthony, oh god, I don't remember his last name now, but
who would it, like Danny Woodhead and it's like Edelman is another guy.
Julian Edelman? Yeah.
And I mean, they've gone, you know, a lot of them, you get paid because of that production. So But
I mean, getting touchdowns from it's the tight end with his Humanuani. There you go. Who was in for Gronk? So much easier to say Gronk or even Gronkowski than Humanuani or Humanumanehi or they've said it so many different ways. Mm-hmm. Dang it, Weasel! I don't even know which one's. That's why I say them all. I don't know which one exactly is right. But it looks like we got another caller. This is very eventful tonight. I'm very excited. This is a 661, so it looks like a Skype call, so I don't know exactly who it is. So I'll ask the caller to identify themselves and let us know what they wish to talk about.
I called to learn about the X's and O's of the game from student of the game.
And, of course, the only guy screwing around that much has to be the boss man himself, Don Rafael Garcia, CEO of the National Gridiron Network, NGSC Sports, and, of course, the host of Tuesday night's NGN Weekly, the flagship show. Don Rafael, welcome aboard to the hallowed ground of the Stanley game.
I guess I've been made.
Actually, no offense, boss, but when I clicked the mute off and I heard that bump against the microphone, I just knew it was you.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing this evening?
Oh, man, we're breaking it down.
Excellent.
So what do you got for us, boss man? I mean, we can chat if you want, but it sounds like you got some thunder to bring.
No. I come very dull, very boring, very quiet.
Yeah, right.
This evening, I usually don't have a lot to talk about. And as everybody knows on the air, I'm very quiet. No, seriously. I was just...
It's a trap!
Yes! Power! It's... I just thought I'd check out what you guys were talking about and listen to the, the IQ just like fill up the airway.
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of IQ, you even missed the mad scientist himself checking in earlier, and he brought some IQ to a conversation, but you're a guy who deals in the art of the old school, so to speak. So let me ask you this, okay? You may be a little bit familiar being a guy who resides in Tennessee. Granted, this isn't a Titans player, but it's certainly your division. Andre Johnson demanding a trade, and the Texans saying that they won't oblige. Weigh in on that for me from the old school perspective, sir.
You know, I love these guys. You know, I like the way you bring in the old school. And the old school aspect, the old school mind says this first. I come from a time, and you know I love to say that a lot, Kyle. I come from a time when a man got on the football field and understood that his job was to get on the football field and make sure that his pads and his helmet were on correctly, and he was ready to strap that jock strap in nice and tight and play for four quarters, shut his mouth, and do exactly what he was told. And that it was a privilege always to play in the National Football League, not as it is treated today, where players are able to say, I know that I make $10 million a year. I know that I have made over $100 million in my NFL career. But we are all divas now, and we have a right, or we do think it gives them a right, to moan and complain. Now, Andre Johnson continues to, especially doing it now. What bothers me right now is, why don't you talk this crap 7 years ago? Right now, you're at a time, Andre Johnson, now where you're thinking that you're not going to get enough productivity from the quarterback you have now. You think your quarterback ain't worried about the productivity from your knees? You're thinking about, at this time of your career, you're thinking, I put in all this time. I've given so much to this organization. I want a winner, and you're not giving me what I want. Hey, dude, you got paid all that money. You supposedly have been a top-flight receiver during all these years in your career. You think maybe those legs that keep breaking down might have once been able to carry your team deep into a playoff run? Oops, you ain't been able to do that either. And these guys just continue to entertain me over and over again because they have no problem cashing the check. They just got a problem at this time of year and this stage in the career. Andre, shut up. Go out there. Do the work. And if you're really that good, right, it shouldn't matter who throws to you.
Oh, I don't know about it. Well, hold on.
Yeah, right?
I agree.
I mean, come on. It's ridiculous.
I agree to you upright to that point. And trust me, I'm not trying to say that Andre Johnson is a sympathetic character completely. There are some things, in all fairness, that are not his fault that prevented him and the Texans from advancing the playoffs any sooner than he did. Okay, they've been in contention constantly because of his production but either it would be defense or some other small aspect that would prevent things from happening. I mean, Weasel had the numbers dropping for 1,400 or so yards a season, and even while playing hurt, he's turning out ridiculous numbers in yards gained. It's not like the cat hasn't done anything, which makes him a little bit better than a prima donna. Now, I'll grant, he's a receiver. You know, you were a linebacker back in your day. I'm proud to be a trenchman. And you know, that obviously makes us less diva than him just by association. It's the sociology of the game. But what I'm trying to say is this. It's not like Andre Johnson is just some raving pansy who's whining like a little girl. He's done his time. And if you're him, and this team is not is already publicly said, hey, look, we're rebuilding, regardless of what they even currently have on the roster, which honestly isn't a terrible team. They're just missing one thing, and that's really a quarterback. I mean, Case Keenum, it's not that he did bad last year, but he ain't great. What if you're him, what do you do? Do you just take it? I mean, what?
Yeah, you do. You do because you've been taking it all these years. And what are you supposed to do? The Houston Texans are an organization. They're not idiots. They're not just going to trade you away. You're one of the best commodities that they have. Matter of fact, because they're so depleted at quarterback, or let's just say so questionable at quarterback, the main thing is to keep targets like this man. And he is asking, I want, I want out. I want out. They can keep on doing it. He has the right to continue to ask for a trade. But the Houston Texans have proven through his career that, and there's been questions sometimes, could this be the year that they're not going? That's not the way that Houston works. Andre Johnson's not going anywhere. Make the most of your situation. Is he in a position to force a trade? No, that's the thing about the NFL. Unfortunately, the NFL is not the NBA. You're here today, and we can cut you tomorrow. So, I mean, there's not too much that he can do, and the Houston Texans are not going to budge. They're going to keep him. They're not going to cut him. And if I was the Texans, I wouldn't either. I'm paying you $10 million. That's not enough for you. I'm sorry. Okay, yes. He has the right to be upset that they didn't get a quarterback. I'd be upset, too.
Yeah.
And when you're as great as he's been and done what he's done, you could feel when he says, damn, I just want one guy that can throw me the football for once in my life. Well, you supposedly had that. His name was Matt Schaub, and in the middle of the NFL season, he did legal proceedings and changes his name to Matty Pixie. That was just unfortunate.
Well, and let me add this. Let me add this concept to it. Something that Weasel I suggested is, and because you mentioned, if they're looking at rebuilding, he's an important target and all that stuff. But at 12 years in the league, at 33 years of age, if they're truly looking to rebuild, would they not have been smarter to ship him for high picks? Because they would have gotten exactly. That's where I'm at. Now, maybe they thought that he'd be, here's what I'm picturing. Granted, I'm not an expert. I don't have access to the office. But here's what I'm forming in my mind as a theory. And it's nothing more than a conspiracy theory. But actually, technically, it's not a conspiracy since it's just Andre Johnson. I'm claiming to be Miss Cleo. Call me now. I tell you what he thinking. There you go. That's a better... I have to say the hard TH for the island. That's what he thinking right there. This is what he thinking. And that is when they drafted Jadeveon Clowney, instead of concentrating on fixing that quarterback spot, which, Ralph, you and I both know for a fact, no quarterback in that draft should have been drafted in the first round. I'm just saying. Yes, even Blake Bortles, shut it. Anyways, Weasel, you don't have to agree. This is where I'm at. Your wife can even prank call me. That doesn't make me wrong.
It's all good.
Anyways, yes, I even collected his signature last week standing right next to you and brought it back to Chris Rankin. Doesn't change my opinion.
Oh, that would have been awesome if you looked in the eye and said, you should not have been picked in the first round.
I'm not stupid.
Can you give me a, can I get your autograph?
I mean, technically, I'm bigger than him, so it would have been fine. But... and like Storm Johnson's so small, what was he going to do? I'm joking. I'll amend my statement to this. I wouldn't have drafted them in the first round. We'll find out if they're worth it or not. Hey, I said the same thing about Cam Newton being the number one pick overall, and boy, did I screw that one up. Anyways, so, yeah, right, exactly. So he sees Jadeveon Clowney get drafted. He's like, well, what the hell with this? He should have been blowing up someone's phone that day if it really cheesed him off that much. And
exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, mm-hmm. all these young receivers that the Panthers got, Jason Avant, Tyquan Underwood, and there's a third one I thought of. If the Texans were involved trying to get them, they've needed other receivers for a while. Now, I know they got Hendricks. If Chris were here, he'd know who it is. Damn it. But the rookie last year who was a number two, who's going to be up and coming. And they got Owen.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of that kid. Yeah.
But Weasel's looking it up. He's on top.
Yeah,
he
had a good season. Good season, yeah.
Yeah, and they got to tie it in Owen Daniels. It's not like they don't have tools. And you know, I mean, I made this joke in my return to writing on the National Gridiron Network on NGSCSports.com. Things I don't get about the Tampa Bay Bucs and Josh McCown. Shameless plug. But I said something there along the lines of, I'm trying to find the best way to quote it. The long story short is this. I'm not a genius. I'm not a GM for telling people that quarterback is important to the team. But with the Texans, it's monumentally true. I mean, ever since the legal name changed to Matty Pick Six, we've had problems there. I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, so...
This is the way of the NFL, and you know that this guy will not be the last, and this will continue to go on. And I understand the NFL. Remember, it's just, we're talking about a league where the guys, they have to get what they can get. You know, this is not so much a money ploy. You were mentioning about what they could get for Andre Johnson, but you also mentioned 12 years and realize that after 12 years, other teams have got to be looking at it as what can Andre Johnson bring to us, or more importantly than that is what is it that we're going to have to give up to get him. And that is probably the biggest sticking point in any way of getting rid of him, because you know that the teams are going, the Houston Texans are going to ask for as much as they can get from him. And what do you get after 12 years, although he's produced? What are we going to get now? They don't know, and teams might not want to take that chance.
Well, and here's the thing. I believe his 80% or his 70% is better than Brandon LaFell, who's no longer a Panther. I believe it is better than Tyquan Underwood, who is currently a Panther. I believe it is better than Jason Avant, who is currently a Panther. So you tell me, and I keep doing this, who would get more out of Andre Johnson this year? Would it be Case Keenum or would it be Cam Newton? I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, very, very good point right there. And obviously somehow you brought it up and you would think that that would probably explore it. I would hope that somebody explored that because... Hey, Kyle, we might think about a career for you as a GM in the future.
Don't wet my lips, Chief. By the way, DeAndre Hopkins, the young man's name, that receiver we're trying to think of.
That's it. There you go, DeAndre Hopkins.
He was supposed to be that, you know, that duo that can, you know, bring back the Texans. But he's still very productive. And so he just got in the league, I think it was 2 years ago.
Yes, that's correct. This will be his second year coming up, I believe. I don't know. Anyways, Ralph, we got about 2 minutes left in the show. And why don't you tell the people where they can find you and hype up the fact that we'll be babysitting the NFL West recess coming up on Wednesday.
He did mention something about that. As always, as I tell everybody, of course, you know where we are. Of course, that is www.ngscsports.com. Of course, you can reach us, me, and all of us as well on Twitter at NatGridNetwork. Remember, of course, the website, ngscsports.com, where we have all our current articles.
90 seconds.
Wonderful pieces by our writers. We have all the shows, of course, on both players, the Blog Talk Radio player for NGN shows and the NGSC Sports player for all shows from the TSCRN and the NGN. And, yes, as Kyle just mentioned, for the next several weeks or, who knows, a little longer, our hands have been tied behind our backs and the proverbial gun has been put to our head and we will be forced to be me, the co-host.
60 seconds.
And Tom Ash back in his old seat at the NFL West recess where, of course, we fight West Coast bias one show at a time. So catch us on Wednesday night from 10 to 11, 11 to 12. That's a Pacific time, isn't it, Kyle?
That's 8 Pacific to 9 Pacific. Because we're fighting against West Coast bias one show at a time. And, of course, if you are not going to be able to listen, that's okay. Check us out on iHeartRadio or Spreaker. It'd be a good time all the way around. Boss man, got to let you go. Thank you very much for checking in, sir. Fantastic fantastic contribution tonight. And, of course, we got about 10 seconds left in the show. So I am Kyle Nash. Assuming you can find me on Twitter at the SOTG, and catch Stephen Weasel Hurley at Weasel the SOTG. See, I got it right again. Booyah! I'm on a streak there. But until next time, folks, always a privilege. But for now, class dismissed.